from Sydney, and I love cars. If you don't love cars, well, hopefully after you listen to this podcast, hopefully you do love cars because... Wait, actually, no, I don't want to waste any time. Let's get straight into it! The first segment of the show will be news that's come up in the car lately. Now, we're going to start off with Holden. I mean, I don't get why that's shut down. Jeez, General Motors. Why do you have to be so bad at everything? I mean, not bad, but I mean, like, why do you have to be so negative against good cars? I mean, at least the last car you made was a Commodore. I'm sad about this because I like Holdens, especially their Monaro. If they don't keep going, I'm seriously going to sue General Motors. Okay, I'm just kidding about that. Okay. Now, I like the Monaro and the Commodore. Now, I just wish it wouldn't shut down. I wish they would keep going. But then that means that they've proved that Ford could win the rivalry against them both. Second part of the news that's come up in car stories lately is the end of the road of the Volkswagen Beetle. I'm very sad about this because I like the Beetle, but for some reason they've stopped making it. I mean, Volkswagen, that was one of their best sellers. I mean, so what if it was designed by Hitler? It was a good car. It was reliable. Some people even called it the reliable Beetle, because it was so reliable. I'm not too sure about that. It's just my opinion, because I called it the reliable little bug, because it was named after a bug. But I mean, can't Hitler just take his hat off in a car? The second segment of the show will be called the Car of the Week. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about the former fastest car in the world, and that car will be the Bugatti Chiron. I mean, Veyron. Yeah, not the Chiron. Yeah, Chiron's too new to be on the show. Now, I got some facts here that I'm going to tell you. See, the Veyron is owned and developed in Germany by Volkswagen, but then manufactured in France by Bugatti. So you're telling me it's just a very modified Volkswagen Beetle? I mean, it was named after a racing driver called Pierre Veyron. I mean, at least it's named after something, and it wasn't just a random name picked out by the Germans. The original version has a top speed of 407 miles kilometers per hour. How do you think my mom's speedo in her car can get up to that high? The Super Sport version is the fastest street-legal production car with a top speed of 431.72 kilometers per hour. I don't even think the Bugatti Chiron's speedo can get up to that high. I mean, it's a Chiron. But I don't think it's supposed to go up to that speed. In 2012, the Veyron had a 16.4 Grand Sport Vessi. I don't know how to pronounce the word, but I've been practicing for some reason. Just kidding, I'm reading off a script. But the cost was 3.128.041 dollars. It's in the millions. In 2014, the Veyron legend. By Ettore Bugatti, cost $3.841.012. It had a quad turbocharged W16 engine and has a power output of 736 kW. You know, it takes 9 minutes to drain all of its petrol at its full speed. I mean, I don't even think the Chiron can do that. Actually, I'm pretty sure it can.
Yeah, the Veyron's way better than the Chiron, guys.
And, it has 10 coolers to keep the engine cool. It goes that fast. I mean, Bugatti! How? It's a modified Beetle because it's designed by Volkswagen. It might be a modified Golf or a new car that's coming out for Volkswagen. But I mean, I like this car. It has three engine radiators. It has three heat exchangers, one transmission oil radiator, one differential oil radiator, and one engine oil radiator. And it weighs 1,888 kilos. The tires cost $36,000. A set and a service cost $70,000. I mean, wow. I mean, the Veyron, it's older, younger brother, to be honest.
I don't like the Chiron too much. Veyron's way better than the Chiron. Now,
it's the end of this segment. Hope you enjoyed it. Okay, everyone. This is the final, well, second last segment of the show. And, well, we got our guest here. So, this is Bruce.
Hello, Logan.
This is, you can also just call him Logan's Pop. But I've got some questions here for you. What was your first car?
My first car was a 1927 Austin A7. It was a vintage car. I was only 17 when I got it, having just had my license, and I had to do it up. The engine needed redoing, and so I had to do that, and I learned a lot about cars with that little car. It was so old, it had a wooden flywheel, which is the barrier between the engine and the passenger compartment. Most of them are metal, but this was wooden. It was so old. It's to stop a fire breaking out in the engine coming through into the passengers. So it was a lovely car. I had it for a few years and did a lot of work on it myself and learned how to be a mechanic in a car with that little car.
I mean, that is kind of believable because you are 500 years old.
Yes, I'm very, 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 very old.
Okay, question two. What is your dream car?
My dream car is a DB9, an Aston Martin DB9. I'd love one of those.
Are there any features you know about it that you'd like?
Just the look of it. It just looks wonderful.
So nothing to do with the drive? Because if it has a bad drive, you're probably going to get sore backs a lot.
No, I've never even sat in one. So I don't know what it's like to sit in. I don't know what it's like to drive. But it always has been my dream car because of the look of it. I just like the look of it.
Okay. What's your car that you have now?
Current car is a workhorse. It's a Mercedes-Benz E250 station wagon. And it carries paintings because Sally is an artist and we need to transport paintings around. And when we bought this car, we didn't have that in mind when we went to looking for cars. We had a painting in the back of the old Mitsubishi station wagon. And the only criteria that we want when we were looking for cars was that the new car would fit the painting in the back. And we tried a Range Rover, and we tried an Audi, and we tried a Discovery, and we tried a Holden, and none of them would fit the painting in the back. Until we come across this Mercedes-Benz E250, and of course the painting fitted perfectly, so we had to buy it.
Well, just to let you know, you said Land Rover twice, because a Land Rover, the Discovery...
I said a Range Rover, and then a Land Rover Discovery.
They're both just Land Rovers because they're both made by the same brand.
Yeah, they're made by the same people. They're very different cars. A Range Rover is very different from a Land Rover Discovery.
So, okay, question four. What would you rather? This is a big Aussie one. Holden or Ford?
Well, I had a Holden too when I was younger. I had an old 1956 FJ Holden, which was British Racing Green, which were the colours of the British car racing team at the time. And it was a wonderful old car. I had that through my university days.
Wait, so would it be Holden or Ford?
Holden, because I had one.
Okay. What would you rather, petrol or electric?
Well, at the moment we'll have a diesel engine, which is a combustible engine. But I think that the electric will be the future. But at the moment, for me, they don't have the battery capacity to really last long enough on a trip that we need it for.
I agree with that because, I mean, I like petrol cars because petrol gives the car twice the speed too, so you're not late to any of your destinations.
Well,
going slow having to constantly to recharge up.
I thought that the horsepower of some of the battery powered cars is very, very high.
Rimac 1200.
So they can go fast. They can go very, very fast, faster than a combustible engine.
But I mean, they're silent, and in a car, one of the things that I like to hear is just the sound of the car just going vroom.
Yes, that's a different perspective. Some people don't like electric cars because you can't hear them coming. So you can't get out of the way. If you're on the street and you want to step off and you use your ears as much as your eyes to look for traffic, you can't hear them because they're silent.
Yes, that's very true. Have you ever had any points on your driver's license?
At the moment, no, I have none.
Okay. Now, I have something for your car now. How many trips has it made?
Well, it's made lots of trips. It's done just over 100,000 kilometres in 9 years.
9 years? So it's
about 12,000 kilometres a year.
So it's a 2011 model?
That's correct.
Okay. Most people with Mercedes either go for the 2011 model or 2012 model, but I don't know that. I'm just a kid who likes cars, saying random stuff.
Well, the station wagon series they changed in 2016, and it has a very smaller capacity in the boot, so we can't upgrade to that because it won't take the big paintings.
Is your car still able to get service?
Yeah, there are plenty of people who service Mercedes-Benz around the country.
So even the ones that can't even be serviced anymore?
Even I had a very old Mercedes-Benz. I had a 1972 350 SL convertible. And that was serviced by Mercedes-Benz regularly, and it was a good car, except that it was too small to carry paintings.
So is that why you swapped to your station wagon?
That's right. Well, I didn't. I swapped because I upgraded to an Audi TT.
The TT? 2001?
No, it was about 2005, I think.
Okay, so it's one of the ones that people sort of forgotten, because everybody's going for the TTS these days.
Yeah, no, this was a straight TT. It was a nice car. It was a very nice car.
I like the TTs too, because they're small and quick.
Yeah. They don't carry four people very easily, though. The back seat is tiny, and you have to be very short to sit in it.
So is it because it has that, like, curved roof?
Yes, that's right, the sloping back.
Because, you know, Audi have done that again, but with an SUV.
Have they?
Yeah.
Slope back?
Yeah. It's a coupe / SUV.
Which one is it?
I don't know. I forgot the name of it.
Not the Q3, Q1?
I'm thinking of the Q3, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what it is. We had a look at the Q7, but it wasn't big enough.
How about the Q5?
That's even smaller than the Q7.
How about the Q8?
I don't think there is a Q8, not in Australia. There might be one in Europe, but I don't think there's one here.
My friend has a model of one of them. It actually has a very long back. It's all the inside. Boot's probably big enough to fit about a painting about that big. When I say that big, I mean half a metre.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, thank you for joining me on the show today.
It's a pleasure.
Wish you luck with your Mercedes.
Thank you.
Welcome everybody to the final segment of our show today. It is the weather forecast to your cars. And we're starting off with Ford with cars, I guess. I've got a list of cars here that I want to talk to you about. I'd like to start off with the brand new 2021 Ford Mustang Hybrid Pure Torque Drenched Acceleration Meets Performance Inspired Design. That's just what it says on the thingy-ma-jiggy. Well, it's the Ford Mustang Mach-E. It's electric and an SUV. The two things that a Mustang's not. I mean, come on, Ford, a Mustang is not an electric SUV. Ha! Well, 60 miles per hour in mid 3 second range. 0-60 in 3 seconds. I mean, at least it's fast in 3 seconds. That's Lamborghini territory right there. How does Ford manage to do that? I mean, they managed to do it with the GT, but I didn't know they put some of that tech into the Mach-E. I mean, all it is electric, but I mean, electric cars are okay as long as they have an actual engine in them at the same time. It's for extra speed. But what I think of the Mach-E is I'm not a big fan of it because it's a Mustang. It's supposed to be like a muscle car, not... I mean, from what I'm seeing right here, it's a similar shape to the Mazda CX-5. But I mean, Ford can do whatever they want with their cars. I'm not saying them.
Ford, if you're watching this, I will sue you if you keep going ahead with the Mach-E.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll seriously sue Ford for that. I'm just kidding. But I mean, hey. And coming up too, with 2021, as always, they're bringing back the Bronco. Ford Bronco. The iconic SUV that was one of the world's most leading 4x4 vehicles for 3 decades. I'm actually just reading this off the Ford website. But I mean, 3 decades! From mid-60s until the mid-90s, this new generation Bronco boasts the latest smart technology with a new bold look and remaining true to its rugged roots. So it's basically, they're bringing back the Ford Bronco. The Bronco! I mean, an iconic thing from the 60s to the 90s? So this thing was made in, like, Le Mans territory with Shelby around. But I'd like to move on to the 2022, so it's coming up in 2 years' time, all-electric Ford Transit, America's best-selling van. America's, I didn't say Australia's, I'm not too sure why. It's charging forward with its 2022 all-electric Transit with a available chassis cab cutaway and cargo van models. It comes in 3 lengths of the roof's height and offers uncompromised cargo space and access to the largest public charging network in North America.
I just read that off the Ford website.
See, I'm actually have an iPad in front of me, okay? Second last, the brand new 2021 Ford F-150. So a pickup truck that's too big you need a special license for. All new and tougher than ever. Tougher. I like how they use that. Well, I mean, the 2021 Ford F-150 has redesigned the maximize productivity and capability and power. No targeting and best class available. Towing and payload for those who can get enough new F-150 has it. New smart technology, new powerful features, new materials, and new class exclusive. Available in a 3.5 liter power boost, full hybrid V6 engine. F-2021 F-150. A new pickup to look forward to. Well, I wish Ford luck with that one because it's a hybrid and, well, at least it has a normal engine, but it's what I've been looking forward to. The 2021 Ford Mustang Mach 1. 2021 Ford Mustang Mach 1. All new Mustang Mach 1 becomes the most track capable 5.0-liter Mustang ever. Courtesy to all newly designed front end, plus four performance parts from the Mustang Shelby GT350 and GT500. So you're telling me this thing has pure Carroll Shelby blood in it? Models and an available handling package for greater limit handling. Packing specially carbureted 5.0-liter V8 engine that produces 480 horsepower at 7,000 RPMs and weighs 420 pounds. LBs, I don't know what that is. Feet, 420 feet, oh my gosh. Okay, it's just 420 lb-ft of a torque at 4,600 RPM, Mark One is fitting the celebration of a nameplate born more than 50 years ago. Available 2021 on Shelby GT500 and Shelby are registered to trademark to the Carroll Shelby and the Hall of Trust. Okay. It actually says available 2021 GT500 Shelby are registered trademarks on the Carroll Hall Shelby Trust. This thing literally says it has Carroll Shelby blood in it. This thing has the blood of Carroll Shelby, inventor of the Cobra, and I'm not too sure about this.
Maybe even the Mustang.
But I mean, I love it. I love the new one. It looks awesome. It looks like the Mustang has a big spoiler though, like what I had in the 60s. Bigger front end, like what I had in the 60s. A grill with multiple different holes. Not too sure it had that in the 60s. Although the disadvantages are the headlamps. They don't look as old school. I mean, at least maybe make them look like the sad-eyed faced ones that they had.
Mustangs are not sad, they're for idiots like me, who will probably crash it within 5 seconds.
Okay, well, that's it for your weather forecast at Ford. So, hope you enjoyed episode 1. I put all my hard work into this. More than an hour to make this, probably about 3.5 hours. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time!